Blog Talk
Radio. Can you hear me, girl?
Yep.
Hello.
Okay.
And they say, how to say and stay safe. How to please my God. How to treat my days. How to keep it tight and stay safe.
How to date and stay saved.com.
Well, hello and welcome to a special edition of the How to Date and Stay Saved show. I'm Kim Brooks, the hostess with the book with the same title, and I'm excited about tonight's call because this is the first call for a series of calls as we celebrate Valentine's Day. This is the week before Valentine's Day, and the theme for these calls is love God, love yourself, and love your future. Love God, love yourself, and love your future, because we're celebrating love all this week leading up to Valentine's Day. And I look at Valentine's Day as a celebration of love. No, you don't have to be booed up to feel special. Just know that you are special in Him. God sees you as special. And so for this week, we're going to celebrate our love for God and our love for self, and then our love for our future, which is bright. So I'm excited. And with that, I'm going to go right into the call because I want to cover a lot of stuff tonight because I have a special guest on the line, and we're going to talk about loving our financial futures, because a lot of times as singles, we can be somewhat lost when it comes to our finances. So I'm excited because I have on the line with me Dorothea Connor Kelly. And for the sake of time, I'm going to go right into the interviews because I have a lot of good questions that I want to ask her. So I'm going to share first about Dorothea. Dorothea Connor Kelly, MBA, is the founder of the Money Chat blog, which is on themoneychat.com, and online Twitter chat, which her handle is at Money Chat Live. Now, Dorothea is also the president of Connor Financial Coaching, LLC, which provides results-oriented personal finance and business coaching services. Known for her charismatic, no-nonsense personality, she is often called upon as a writer, speaker, and by national media as an expert financial resource, including Black Enterprise Magazine, U.S. News, and NerdWallet. Visit www.themoneychat.com to download your free chapter of, and we're going to get into that because Dorothea, I'm so excited for her because she is about to launch her very first book, and this is actually the Money Chat, the book. So we're actually going to talk about that. And some of the questions that I have are regarding that wonderful book. I'm excited. I got my copy, and I've been reading it, and it is really good. It's really straight to the point, very results-oriented. So welcome, Dorothea, to our show.
Thank you so much, Kim. I appreciate you having me on, and I absolutely love your theme for this series, Love God, Love Yourself, and Love Your Future. That is awesome.
Thank you, girly. And Dorothy is also my buddy, so I'm just so happy for
yes.
her. She is just, God is good because I remember her whole, not the whole process of the book, but just the infancy stages. So I'm excited that it's here.
Yes.
Dorothea actually has been a previous guest on the show. She's given financial advice. She's always coached other people, always been giving. And so now everything that she's poured out, she's put it into this wonderful, wonderful book. So I want to ask you first, Dorothea, what inspired you to write Money Chat, the book?
So part of that journey that you spoke of, you know, you were there for most of it, actually. And
aww.
You know, I started with the online Twitter chat, the money movement. It was a way to take a conversation that can be shameful or awkward, you know, and by doing it in an online chat, people were less intimidated. You know, we were able to
yes.
build a community. I wanted people to know that we're all in this together. There's no judgment. So after doing the Money Chat on Twitter for a few years and Money Chat live sessions that were awesome, I decided it was time to put on paper some of the key things that we had discussed, some of the recurring topics that I heard on the chat and in my financial coaching practice. And that's how we have Money Chat, the book.
Oh, right. Okay. Sounds good. Now, I like how you answer so many questions in this book. You talk about getting out of debt and not just, you know how they say managing debt. Oh, let's just manage
right.
it. No, you talk about how to get out of debt. You talk about managing your money and creating financial security. And there's a
yes.
saying that that's one of the number one needs that we have. And even as singles, we want some sense of security. You know, we're believing
right.
God for our mates, but at the same time, some of us may have children. You know, we have families to run. We have to know how to successfully create that financial security. So we're going to get into all of that. But first, I want to ask you as well, like, what do you feel, Dorothea, is the biggest mistake that people make in their finances? And how, I know, I don't want you to share too much of the book, but, like, what is an example of how to correct it, and what are some of the mistakes, especially for singles?
Okay. So, as you know, I'm just recently married, so I understand
Yay!
The single person's struggle with trying to manage your money. You know, a lot of times as single people, you don't have anyone to be accountable to.
Right, a lot
of times singles don't track their money. And when it comes
right.
to making major financial decisions, they won't consult anyone. You know, I always tell singles to consult someone who is successful at money management before making major
mm-hmm.
purchases. Have an accountability partner. It doesn't mean you have to tell them all your business, but when you're thinking about making a major change, or you're
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out how to manage your money as you're researching on your own, you need someone who has been there, someone who has managed their money well, and not just in what you see, because a lot of times what you see is
right.
not real, but someone
right,
who
right.
is on true, solid financial footing. So that's what I would say. You know, as singles, we need to know where our money is going.
Exactly, and that's a good point. Now, when you say that, immediately what came to mind, and I'm going to go a little bit off course in some of the questions. It's kind of
that's
like
fine.
A free-flowing thing.
Sure.
When you say have an accountability partner, a lot of times there are a lot of people that are walking around here acting like and looking like they got it all together. You're seeing the nice
exactly.
cars and the nice clothes and
exactly.
the Gucci this and the Prada that, but then it's all
yep.
what I call credit rich. So
yep.
how do you know
exactly.
who is someone you can be accountable to, and who are some examples that you should be accountable to? Like, how do you even know? Because unfortunately, and I'm so glad you have this Money Chat, the book, because money is a topic that we do not typically discuss in our families, in our
exactly.
homes, growing up, with our friends. So how
exactly.
do we know who we can trust that we know is
so
financially adept?
I'll say this. You know, in your families and even amongst your friends, you will be able to know by conversations who is living on credit possibly and who is
yes.
seriously managing and striving for that financial security. So after you're around someone for a little while, you'll get an opportunity
mm-hmm.
to maybe ask some basic questions. So, hey, you know, do you use a money management app? And then that will lead into some other conversations, and you can tell from that, you didn't tell any of your business, you didn't ask any of theirs, that will lead into how they go about managing, you know. And then you can kind of gauge from their answer if that is somebody that you can trust to hold you accountable, that is seriously managing their money as well, you know. So that's what
that
it is based
awesome.
On those conversations.
That is awesome.
Right.
No, that is
Thank
awesome.
You.
Thank you for sharing that. And then now I talked about earlier how a lot of times as singles we may struggle with debt. You know, we're trying to look good.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to
right.
be found by Boaz. So we out here, you know, getting all dialed up and all these different things
right.
to look good. And a lot of times we
right.
drum up a lot of debt in doing that.
Right.
But thank God that this is a new year, and I know
that's
a lot
right.
of people with their resolutions, and people still making those. I always like to say goal, you know, annual goal.
Mm-hmm.
One of your goals may be to get out of debt. So what's the quickest and best way that you believe that a single person or any person can get out of debt?
Okay. Well, I'll say
Or at
this,
least work
you know,
it. Mm-hmm.
Right, not quick. I won't say quick. Because we,
okay.
many of us have things that we're dealing with. You know, you dig a hole in your 20s and possibly in your 30s. You know,
mm.
it may take a little while to get out of. So what I'll
okay.
say is I like the debt snowball. I found that years ago when I was learning about my own money, which led me down the career path that I'm in now, and
okay.
I found that it worked. And when I, you know, I've been using it my entire coaching practice with clients, and it just absolutely works. Now, sometimes you may have to tweak it depending on your situation. I always say there's no cookie cutter. But the debt snowball is simply listing your debt smallest to largest and paying them
okay.
off in that order. Now, the reason
mm.
is, as opposed to the highest interest rate, is because as you get things paid off, you're freeing up more money and you have a sense of accomplishment. And that psychological
okay.
sense of accomplishment is serious. It is very
mm.
real, and it is that boost that we need to keep going. You know, if you're trying
That's
to bite
good.
Off a $10,000 chunk and you've got 50,
right.
100, 500 still out there, you know, it can kind of discourage you and you won't continue. But if you list them smallest to largest and pay them off in that order and then reassess, I always tell people to reassess their debt quarterly and at the minimum, biannually, every 6 months. You know, that will get you on track to getting
okay.
to becoming debt free.
That's a good point. Now when you say okay, so the debt snowball, you list
mm-hmm.
your debt smallest to largest, and then like how does it work as far as like how do you pay them off? Like
okay,
how is it
so
a
this
snowball?
Is what you do. Right. So you list them smallest to largest. So after you pay off one debt, say you have a $100 debt and you're putting $20 a month on it. When that debt is paid off, you take that $20 you're spending on that $100, and say your next debt is $500, and you're paying $100 on that a month. So you've got the $20
okay.
that you were using towards the $100 debt that is paid off now. Put that $20 with the $100 and tackle the $500 debt to get that paid off fast. Then your
oh,
next debt, once
okay.
the $500 is paid off, that means
mm-hmm.
you have $120 to put toward paying off your next debt even faster.
Okay, so basically
so
instead
that's how
of
it
using
snowballed.
That. Okay.
Instead of taking, instead of spending the money, you know, okay,
mm-hmm.
cool,
that's what I was about to say.
Off,
instead of saying, oh, I got an extra $100, extra $20 a month, what can I buy?
That's
mm-hmm.
right. Exactly. No, put that money toward paying off the next debt.
Okay. Awesome. All right. And the next question is, now this, oh my goodness, I've heard this question asked by in singles panels and things like that, and you address it in your book. I know the answer, but I definitely want the listeners to know your take on
okay.
it. A lot of times we're taught that before we even think about marriage or date, that we are supposed to be totally out of debt. I mean, we've heard things like, oh, you want
right.
to be an asset, not a liability, and all this stuff.
Exactly.
All this lingo. But what
yeah.
is your take on that? Must you be totally out of debt before you get married?
You know what? Number one, no. The straight answer is no. And this hits a lot of men hard. So, ladies,
mm.
when you're running into the guys and you're in the dating situation, some of them may believe that they need to get themselves together. They've got to get all their debt paid off before they can court or date a woman. So
mm.
sometimes it's our job to put them at ease, whether you think this
yeah.
is going to go long-term or not, and let them know, you know what, we all have some stuff going on. So two can accomplish more than one. So the important piece is the mindset. Now, if you're dating somebody
Ooh,
and every time
good.
You see them, they're at the mall
mm-hmm.
or they're going out and buying this new thing for their car or even the same thing with us ladies, you know, sometimes you have to leave those shoes on the shelf. The
mm-hmm.
key is the mindset. Are
okay.
you of the mindset to get out of debt? Are you of the mindset to manage your money properly? As
mm.
long as you two are on the same page, with a financial mindset, you can accomplish anything together.
Wow.
So, no,
well,
you definitely do not have to be out of debt. But, of course,
now
you have to watch and pray because,
you
know, somebody may say, you know what, yeah, I'm on board. But what are they doing? I think you should be concerned when you see a pattern of behavior that does not line up with the words. And it happens all the time.
So that's really what
I believe. You know, I believe people should just relax a little bit, be of the mindset to pay off your debt, get on that track, and I think that would lessen some of the load and some of the pressure.
Wow, that is good. I like when you say be of the mindset because,
yes,
you know, you have a made-up mind, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to get out of debt, and then you know, for those that are dating, you observe that other person and see where their money is going, you know, what they're, you know,
absolutely,
how they're coming along with that. That is excellent. And that reminds me, in my book, How to Date and Stay Saved, I featured 12 married couples that were abstinent till marriage. And I remember one young man, he was in his probably mid-20s when he married his wife. And I remember prior to printing the book, I interviewed them on the phone, and he said that he thought that he just had to have all his ducks in a row and all this big old chunk of money in the bank before he could marry his bride. Now, they're in their 20s. I mean, come on. So thankfully, he listened to, you know, God and his inner unction and went ahead and married his woman, his bride, and they've been married for several years now. Two little ones, and then when they got married, somebody blessed them with a house. So God worked it out. He worked it out. So
I'll tell you this too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell my brothers, the men in my life, you know, you also have to watch that woman, ladies.
Mm.
We can't go out on date and try to order everything on the menu that we order as if you're paying.
That's good.
A man has bills, you know, and if you're dating a man who's sincere, he's not going to be cheap with you. Because I'm not talking
that's
about
true.
Cheap
that
men.
That is true.
We don't deal with those. But you know, you have to be cognizant of their pockets as well. Order as if you would be paying for this meal, and a gentleman will appreciate that. Same thing with anything else that's going on. Just be conscious. You know, don't short yourself. I'm not saying that at all. I don't believe in that at all. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that. But I was conscious of my husband as we were dating, conscious of his, you know, he has bills too. So, you know, you just have to think about those things.
That is good. Being considerate while you date. And I'm glad you mentioned that because you did a blog, and I'm actually, with your permission, I would like to share that blog on my blog that you did about for men, for single men, how they can date dating on a dime.
That's right. I try to help the fellas out.
I really like that. I found it today and I was like, I gotta share this. So I'm gonna put it on my blog tonight so people can read it. But it's and then people can read it on yours too. It's ConnorCoaching.com and it's ER, so ConnorCoaching.com, because that is, it's really good. And you can do a search for it. I love how your blog has a search feature because all I had to do was put in the word dating and it brought it right up. So that is awesome. Okay, and then the next one, I wanted to ask you, Dorothea, at what point when you're dating someone should you, because I know you talked about in the book, talking about money, if you're dating someone, like at what point should you do that? Should it be when you, before you get engaged, after you get engaged, first date, third date, like at what point should you talk about that?
You know what, I tell everyone to ease in. You know, this, you know, I think on first dates, of course, first two, even three dates should kind of be light. You know, no heavy conversations on those first three dates. But in dating, you want to know what their mindset is. So you can just, another way to just ease in money conversation, like, oh, man, I watched this show, and they were talking about how you should, you know, talking about whether you should lease or buy a car. You know, bring up minor money conversations just in conversation while you're dating, because, you know, just to get a feel for where they are with their money. And then that brings things up. You'll hear stories of childhood and stories of a friend they knew that did whatever with their money, and you can kind of get a gauge on how they think. Now, when you're engaged, I believe that between dating and engagement, when you've started to talk about marriage before anyone has popped the question, that the closer you get to that engagement period, that's when you should begin to share much more credit history, how you feel about money. Because at that point, you know, okay, this, you know, you're expecting a proposal, and you know that this is the person you want to be committed to for the rest of your life. So you need to have that conversation when you're engaged. And before you're engaged, then once you're engaged, of course you need financial counseling as part of your marriage counseling. Because even if you're on the same page mentally and you're wanting to get your finances together and everybody's like, rah, rah, yes, let's do it, I'm telling you, in that counseling, some things are going to come out, even if you're on the same page. And definitely if you're not on the same page. And you need to watch for those signs. That stuff needs to be brought out in the open. Doesn't mean you say, oh, no, we're canceling this, not getting married.
Right.
But what it means is that you have those conversations. And, of course, during a marriage, your financial conversations are ongoing. That's when you definitely want to have that financial life plan that I talk about.
Excellent, Dorothea. I mean, thank you. Is so good, because I like how you said, because, you know, we push marital counseling. We definitely encourage that. But I like how you said you should have financial counseling as well, because according to statistics, you know, they always say one of the reasons for divorce is because of money. But in my mind, I always think, well, no, money is not the problem. It's just a form of exchange. It's how we communicate about it, how we handle it.
Exactly.
And whether or not expectations are being met regarding it. And so this way you can get that out on the table up front and have the conversation.
That's right.
You know, what's interesting, when you're dating someone, you can just, that's another thing about, like, listening to the conversation. You can hear about where they spend, how they even go grocery shopping, where they shop, how often they shop, what their goals are. Like, if they're in an apartment, do they ever say anything about saving for a house? You know, it's like you can kind of listen for these cues.
Yes.
And it will let you know whether or not they're a spender or a saver.
It will. And I'm going to tell you, it's hilarious that you bring up the grocery shopping. I had to help my husband, even when we were dating. This was long before we were even committed. We were just dating. He went grocery shopping every day. And I told him, I said, you have got to stop this. You are driving me nuts, and it's not even my problem. So I showed him how to shop every 2 weeks.
Right. Isn't that awesome? I'm a list person. I have to have a list.
Wow.
Yes.
He bought every meal
every
day.
My dad, he was a grabber. I remember growing up, we'd go shopping when he would go, because my mom went most of the time, but my dad, he would just grab stuff, no list.
Yeah.
See, I'm a list person. I don't like to be there all day. You know, I've determined what I want, and not saying I'm the best at, you know, organizing all my finances, but at least for grocery shopping, I do the whole listing. But then, like you said, if you're a person you're dating, they may not be smart in that area or know what to do, but at the end of the day,
that's right.
I think it boils down to humility and have those conversations. And if one is better at managing money than the other, it shouldn't matter which one it is, you know, whether it's the man or
that's
the woman,
right.
Especially if you're married, it's like, who is best at it?
That's right.
Because a lot of times in the church, we always put everything on the man. He's the head. He's supposed to do everything. But if the woman is better at finances, then,
that's right.
I mean, at the end of the day, you got to keep the household afloat.
That's right. You have to keep order, and you have to do what's best for you and your mate. That's most important.
That's good.
What will keep the peace?
That is
what will
good.
Keep everything organized? You know, that's what you want.
That is excellent. That is excellent. And for all the singles listening, take note, you know, observe as you date, and then be open about it. Not be afraid to even talk about it as it comes up, but definitely, like Dorothea laid it out, those different points in the relationship, you definitely want to hit it. and definitely before you say I do.
Yes.
All right. That is awesome. Okay, so next question, Dorothea, is what's the best way to prepare for a successful, secure financial future?
I teach what I call is a financial life plan. You know,
okay.
You have a plan for your career, you go to college or trade school. You know, you have a plan, some plan for families. We want one kid, two kids, three. You know, where do you want to be financially next year? Where
That's
do you
good.
Want to be in 3, 5, 10 years? Set those goals and then march diligently toward reaching them. So how do you do that?
Do that.
So number one, you put that on paper, right? Next year
okay.
I want to pay off. And I talk about this in the book as well. It's easy for me to say, I want to be completely debt-free next year. Okay, so, but is that really realistic? So, okay,
right.
I want to pay off
$1,000
in debt next year. Okay, that's more feasible. How are you going to do that? $50 every 2 weeks, how are you going to do that? You have to have a plan that backs up the words.
That's
so you
good.
Set those goals, then you march toward them, and you have it for 3, 5, 10 years, and you reassess every 6 months at a minimum. That is how you create a secure financial future. And you know what? People, you need, there's so many free financial seminars. There are blogs all over the place. Of course, themoneychat.com is your number one blog, but there are so
all
many
right.
financial resources. You want
okay.
to go to these seminars that are free. You want to go online and do the free audio courses and apply what will work for your family.
Okay.
And for you.
I know you mentioned, can you share, I know you mentioned in the book, can you share a couple of the websites that you mentioned that help you manage your money online?
Absolutely. So I like, there's two that help you manage. One is creditkarma.com.
Okay.
K-A-R-M-A, creditkarma.com. And what I like about them, Quizzle, which is another one, Quizzle.com. I like those two because they give you not only a free credit report, but they also give you a free score because, you know, you have to pay for the score. So,
okay.
And on both of those sites, you can add, put all of your financial management, all of your bills, all your expenses, all of your income, your retirement goals, this kind of thing. Charts and graphs, reminders. You put it in once, update it as needed, and it is. You can have a mobile app on your phone that links right to your account that will help you manage it right on your phone. You know, we're phone people now, so we need things right at our fingertips, and that'll help you. And the other thing I like about that is this. I always tell people we do a budget, and then I tell them to print it out, fold it up, and put it in their wallet or their purse. Well, with these mobile apps, whenever you pass by a mall and you're just feeling emotional, like, I want to go shopping, you can pull up your app and see if you can really go shopping. You know, I used to tell people to do that with their budget paper that I'd have them keep.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's right on your phone if you need it, if you want to use the app. So that would be, you know, those are great resources that you can use.
Yeah, that is excellent. That is excellent. Now, what? And I know you also talk about in your book, and for the sake of time, we're not able to go deep into it, but I know you talk about the importance of saving and investing. So what do you think about that? And this is just another random question that I have. You know how some people say you should get out of debt, and then they say you should save after you're out of debt, and then you can't invest until you're out of debt. Do you advocate doing all three at the same time, or like what is your take on that as far as out of debt, saving, and investing?
Okay.
And then we have time, so it lets us go over, so don't mind. I mean, if it's okay, we're not
going
to go too much over.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Thank you.
Now, everyone's situation is different, so let me give you a scenario. If you are knee-deep in debt, and you don't know what's going on with your finances, investing should be the furthest thing from your mind.
Okay.
I don't mind people investing at the same time as they're trying to get out of debt, but I tell them only start investing after they've paid off all of their smaller debts. So what might be left? Your car note, your student loan, your mortgage. Then you're making monthly payments and possibly paying extra on those because you need to get rid of those. So you're paying extra on those already. It also depends on age. So like I said, every situation is different. If you're 20, you know, let's say you're 26 actually, 26 to 30, you still got 30 plus years, right? So I'll tell you, you know what? Don't invest yet. Get this debt paid off. Let's focus on paying off this debt in the next 3 to 5 years. Now, after the 5 years is up and you're still in debt because maybe everything didn't go the way it's planned, then I'll say, well, you've paid off so much. Now you can start investing. So I don't say you have to pay off all of your debt before you can invest or before you can save, because everybody should have an emergency fund.
You
want
to have your $1,000
emergency fund no matter what.
Yep, you talk about that. And that is critical. Yep, definitely.
Exactly. So here's the order, because I'm talking about a lot of things here. Number one, you're going to save for your emergency fund. Before you start paying extra on debt, you're going to get your $1,000 in the bank ASAP. Then,
$1,000, that's emergency fund. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. Then once you've gotten all that money in the bank, and some people, if you want, start with $500. No problem with that. Then the money you were saving for your emergency fund, you're going to start putting on paying off the debt that you listed smallest to largest.
Okay.
Once you get most of the smaller ones paid off, and maybe you only have left some major debt, because remember, we're not incurring any new debt. Now, this, you know, you dig a bigger hole if you start borrowing in this whole process.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? So once your smaller debts have been paid off and all you've got left are bigger debts, you're paying extra on those larger debts, and if you have something left over, then add investing.
Okay.
So now, if you're someone,
go ahead.
Ask your question.
No, I was just, I am not, I'm okay with numbers, but it's just not the quote-unquote sexiest topic, not the topic that you were excited about. It's like, I got to pay off this debt. I got to, you know, that's how a lot of people think. They're like, okay, where's the fun in that, you know? So it's kind of like, what can you do to celebrate small victories along the way? Like, let's say you pay off a $200 retail type debt, or, and I definitely do not advocate retail cards because the interest is like 20-something percent. So, like, if you have a regular card, Visa, with a lower rate, like, and you pay it off, like, how can you make it not as cumbersome and not
cumbersome,
as, like, a chore?
Yes.
Like,
you know what? I am
like,
so
I want those
glad.
Too.
I am so glad you brought that up, because I believe in living this life. Life is for the living. So as you're reaching your goals, you can treat yourself to something small, you know, something minor, you know, that you just want to do, a shirt you saw, you know, some shoes that aren't real expensive, something, you know, a night out at a concert or something that didn't cost too much, something to treat yourself. Because you are accomplishing something, and we do need those rewards. I believe in that 100%. I'm so glad you brought that up. What I want people to think about, though, is this. And some of that stuff can be built into your budget, too, as well.
Okay.
Some of the things you want to do to get out and have fun and that kind of thing. I help
people like
build
a
that
fun account. I know some
debt.
People have, like, a fun account, like a fun account.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Some people are having too much fun. So,
I know. Look, the fun account can't be that big. It gotta be a little, like a weekend. I know when I do my budget, I'll do a weekend. I put the word weekend because that's for my little weekend fun. And if I don't spend it, then hey, it could go towards something else. But yeah, that's true. You don't want to make that one too big. So that is good.
Exactly. And people have to remember this is a season. If you make the sacrifices. You know, over the next 3 years, you know, if you're in debt, give yourself the next 3 years to make the sacrifices necessary. to eliminate as much of that debt as you can. Doesn't mean you can't still have fun, but remember, this is a season. This is a season of sacrifice. And you take care of that season. And then that fourth or fifth year, anything you want to do, you can do. Just, you know, I have people in my coaching close their eyes and write on, not close, close their eyes and think about, but also write on sticky notes, what would you do if you had no debt? What could you do if you had no debt? Keep that mindset. Think about that as a single person especially.
Yeah.
You know, think about it. You're single. Some of you may have children. But think of the things that you can do self if you have no kids or for your children if you do have kids if you had no debt. Or if you minimize your debt so much, you know, what would you be able to accomplish? What would you be able to do? You could go in the mall and see a pair of shoes and grab them. You know, your kids want to go on a trip with the school. It's not a hassle. It's not a bind for you. It's not a sacrifice because you've paid off this debt. So just think about that. This is a season. You know, we have to change our mindset about it and just move full speed ahead.
That's good. That's good. And for the young people listening, I mean, just take advantage. You have time on your side. You have time.
Yes.
Use that time now to get out of debt, and then that'll give you much more room to be able to save and invest and grow your wealth. I mean, I'm, you know, just now, you know, really buying into the whole saving for yourself because, you know, like a lot of people in church, we learn about tithing. I've paid tithes since I was 19. But then at the same time, we got to remember to tithe to ourselves in our own savings accounts for our short-term savings, our long-term savings. And those just are not conversations that we don't even hear those conversations at church. And I think, you know, thank God for ministries. There are ministries that do have financial segments with it, but I appreciate those that do, and I appreciate you, Dorothea, for coming on and just giving
it to
us straight. just letting us know.
Thank you.
How can any listener, and I'm excited because there actually are a lot of callers listening in, and I know people, and if you were not able to hear it tonight, you can catch the archive. Share this call with your friends. You know, we have to start having these conversations about money. So how can we connect with you? How can the listeners connect with you, Dorothea, and share about your book and how they can even set up a session with you if they want to continue the conversation one-on-one with you about their finances?
Absolutely. Well, you know, definitely visit themoneychat.com. Definitely need everybody to buy the book. The book will be available Monday, February 16th. I need you to buy the print book, the e-book. Get one, get three, one for you and two other people who you know need help. You can join the Money Chat Facebook group. You know, we all know some people who could use a little help.
It in a group setting and have that accountability because it's like, okay, you're reading the chapters together, you're doing your budget, you're setting your goals, and you're working together and we're having the conversation. So that is excellent.
Absolutely. And if anybody decides to do a large group and would like for me to come on virtually, just reach out to me at themoneychat.com, also connorcoaching.com. If you'd like a financial coaching session, complete a request form at Connor, C-O-N-N-E-R, coaching.com, and my assistant will reach out to you to schedule your time. Of course, I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram, Dorothea Connor, D-O-R-E-T-H-I-A, Connor, C-O-N-N-E-R. So I appreciate being on. I appreciate all your listeners. You can reach out to me. I'll respond. And definitely buy the book. And it's up on Amazon now, but I need everybody to buy it on Monday, February 16th.
Yes, on Monday. And that is very important because the release date for any book is like the most important date in the world for an author. And then you as a reader, you'll be able to get it hot off the press. You know, new year, get your new start, 2015, and get your finances in order and have that peace of mind. So, yeah, definitely buy the book. You can get it from Amazon Monday, February 16th, 2015. So, yeah, that's excellent. And it's a really good book. I'm excited about I'm reading it now.
Thank you.
It's very practical, very easy to read. You have endorsements here by Gail Perry Mason, the author of Girl, Make Your Money Grow. And, I mean, this is, it's an excellent book. So congratulations to you on
that
book.
You know, that's Linda, Bridgeforth. Girl, Make Your Money Grow.
Oh, Lord
Grow.
Jesus.
But, you know, they co-authored
the book. I'm looking
on
the back. Lord Jesus.
Yeah, I know. And Gail is a good friend. Gail Perry Mason is a good friend as well. I love her. And her co-authored the book. Yes.
Yes, they both co-authored the book. Glenda Bridgeford and Gail. I'm more familiar with Gail, and I know Glenda more familiar with Gail. But yes, excellent. So they are excellent women of God, and you are as well.
Yes.
And Dorothea, you have written for Black in the Cry, so that's a blessing too.
Thank you. I'm excited.
I'm in book Monday, February 16th. Is that the main main one? Is through Amazon?
Yes, Amazon.com.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And do an Amazon review, please. Thank you.
Yes, yes, that too. Amazon review, once you read it, whether you like it or not, either is fine. Just put your comments of what you think about
it.
I know you're going to love it. But, you know, I'm also Dorothea's book coach, so I try to throw in my coaches along the way and just let her know it's okay if you get a negative review because, hey.
Yes.
Conversation, that's the key. So God is good.
That's right.
Thanks for being on the show. And
thank you, Kim.
Yep, thank you. And you guys have a great night. And happy birthday. Dorothea's birthday is tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yep,
thank you.
All right. And congratulations again on your recent nuptials.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, you guys have a good night. Bye-bye, everybody.